You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Julie Burstein. I'm in for Leonard Lopate today. In 2007, Michelle Rhee was appointed as Chancellor of Education for the Washington, D.C. School District. Her three-year tenure there was admired by some, hated by others, and filled with both achievement and controversy. Her new venture, a national education lobbying organization called Students First, just published a report card not for school performance, but for states' education policies, which is also met with criticism as well as acclaim. Tonight on PBS, Frontline will air a documentary about Rhee's tenure in Washington, D.C., called The Education of Michelle Rhee. It will be broadcast at 10 p.m. and is produced and reported by John Merrow, education correspondent for NewsHour, who joins me now. Welcome to the Leonard Lopate Show.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
You know, much of the footage in this documentary you also had on NewsHour. How did you get such access to Michelle Rhee?
She gave it to us. I mean, when I read about her taking the job, I thought she sounded fascinating. I called her up and said, I'd love to just follow you around. And she said, I won't do it unless I think it will advance, be in the best interest of children. And so I live here in New York and took a train down to Washington. And with my senior producer at the NewsHour, we took her out to dinner and pitched it. And she said, I'll think about it. And the next day she called and said, okay. And so we had remarkable access. I mean, she's a journalist dream. I mean, she's smart, thoughtful, but also candid, sometimes to a fault. She was a wonderful person to interview and charismatic. And she said to me very early, she said, you know, I'm going to wear you out. And even if I had been her age, which I certainly am not, she would have worn me out. I mean, she's tireless.
Yeah, most of the shots, except for ones where you've captured her in a seat, she is moving. She is walking. Yeah. She is greeting people. She is talking to people. She does seem like a force.
Yeah, she's a force. And sometimes she may... there's one scene in the film you'll see tonight where people are screaming at her. Because she wants to close schools, and it was leaked, and then there's this, and she is impassive. People are just yelling at her. And then, of course, there's a scene where she is firing someone. She invited us to film her firing someone, and you see that scene where it plays for a long time. It's quite striking because she doesn't blink.
Yeah, there's a moment where she says, you know, my mom was always worried because I didn't respond to other kids the way that she expected me to. I didn't seem to care what they thought about me. And then she called me recently and said, I think it's serving you well now. She really walked into a very difficult situation. The Washington, D.C. schools were in very tough shape. And she knew at the end, you say she knew that she didn't have much time to make change. But the way that she tried seemed to ruffle as many feathers as it did make change. And at times it seems like she's trying to make change through punishment. There was a lot about if the principals don't raise these scores, they're out.
Well, actually she insisted on written guarantees. She met one-on-one with the 140 school principals and had each of them put in writing how much the test scores they were going to go up. And she essentially, you know, made it clear that this is a promise. The implicit in that is that if they don't go up, you may lose your job. And she did fire, in her first year alone, she fired about 20 principals.
In your experience, and you've been looking at education for a long, long time, does this kind of holding people to a promise work? Because this is, you're not actually making widgets here. You're teaching students and asking their progress to go up.
Well, someone asked me the other day, which is more important, being loved or being feared? And I think it's a false dilemma. I think you'd rather be respected. I'm not sure that fear as a motivator is very effective. I mean, sort of, you know, whipping will continue until morale improves or whatever, that old joke.
But right.
She, on the other hand, she did say, if scores go up, you get cash. Bonuses of as much as $10,000 for dramatic gains. And as you see in the film, scores went up dramatically. I mean, they went off the charts, improvement. What happens next is in a way, is the heart and soul of the film, because the test maker reports that a suspiciously large number of answers have been erased and almost always changed from wrong to right. And so part of the, one of the questions is who did the erasing? And the second question is, what do you do about it?
And that is, you know, a documentary that seems at first to be a portrait of someone becomes, in a sense, a detective story of what actually happened here.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, it's and Frontline, of course, I'm a correspondent for the NewsHour, but and Frontline is the very pinnacle. I mean, NewsHour and Frontline together, along with public radio. But so to work with that team at Frontline was just a joy. And I think you see their skill at storytelling as it unfolds, because it does unpeel like an onion. And, you know, you'll see how it turns. I mean, I hope you'll see how it turns. It is, as you said, tonight at 10. You can watch it online as well if you miss it.
While you were watching this story unfold, did you see signs of change within the school system that were positive? Did you see things happening that you felt there is something moving forward here?
Well, that's a great question, Julie. I was a high school teacher, and I've been a reporter in education now for, I guess, 38 years. And I well remember how the principal, in evaluating me as a teacher, just come sit in the back of the room for a while and famously, in one case, praise my teaching of Hamlet when I'd been talking about Macbeth. And that's a farce. And as Michelle Rhee says in the film, when she took the job, 8% of the eighth graders were on grade level, but 95% of the teachers were rated as satisfactory. She changed that. Before Michelle Rhee, I mean, other people had tried to change it, but she has changed the national conversation. You used to be able to say, well, we're going to judge this teacher based on how many credit hours he has, or how well prepared she seems to be, or how organized her lesson plans are. Not anymore. You'd be laughed out of the room if you said that. And that's largely because Michelle Rhee changed the conversation. Now, student achievement is part of the judgment of a teacher. The rub is that what do we mean by student achievement? Because in Washington, D.C., they put it all on one test called the D.C. CAS, and that's a diagnostic test. That's a test that you take, and then the teacher says, let's look at Julie's, and she needs help with multiplying fractions. Let's look at John needs some help with long division. Diagnosis, like an x-ray for a doctor. But Michelle Rhee changed that, and she said, I'm going to use this test to whether to fire principals or not, whether to have teachers. And so you put all this weight on this single measure. And there's a fundamental law in social science called Campbell's Law, that the more pressure you put on a metric, the more likely it is to be corrupted. And all of a sudden somebody was erasing all those answers.
It also, I hadn't realized that this was a diagnostic test, which is different than a test of achievement.
Sure.
This is really, it sounds like this was a test that was supposed to help the teachers understand what they needed to do for
exactly
the students.
Right.
But instead then the teachers were being punished for not having done something yet.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, and it was interesting reporting this. When Frontline said we'd like to make this into a film, they also provided resources so we could follow the story. It was very difficult to get people to talk. There's very little upside to being publicly critical of Chancellor Rhee. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, riding a bike with no hands at my age. You know, what is the upside? And easy to see the downside.
But, yeah. and the upside may be very fleeting.
And as you see at the end of the film, you meet a school principal who was willing to speak out. And she had been reluctant. She came to the system as, really idolizing Michelle Rhee. It's an interesting story, but it was also very difficult to get anyone to raise criticism.
I'm speaking with John Merrow. He's the producer of the Frontline documentary, The Education of Michelle Rhee, about the former chancellor of Washington, D.C. public schools. It airs tonight at 10 p.m. on PBS, and we'll have more after a break. I'm Julie Burstein. I'm here for Leonard Lopate today, and I'm speaking with John Merrow, who is the correspondent for a Frontline that's going to be on tonight at 10 p.m., The Education of Michelle Rhee. John, before the break, we were talking about the testing, the various testing. The other thing that came to the surface from watching the documentary is the incredible pressure that these principals and teachers are all under. There were lots of shots of teachers and students in these long hallways that looked sort of chaotic. At one point, there's a principal who you can tell is under so much strain who's yelling at students, and you can see that she really is, as Michelle Rhee says, she's struggling. Did you see support for these people who are really working their hearts out sometimes?
Yes. Michelle Rhee tried to put in support teams in different schools, sometimes with success, sometimes not. She did put a lot of pressure on principals. And fixing urban schools is a really tough job. It's got to be a team sport. You asked earlier about fear. It seems to me that if you're going to fix a school, you have to be working as a team. And I'm not sure that ever really happened. And it wasn't so much that it was union versus. I mean, I think Chancellor Rhee, her own experience as a teacher, that she was able to raise test scores when she was teaching in Baltimore, she felt that everyone should be able to do that. And her approach was, you know, do it. She did provide help in some places, though, professional development. It was always, in what we saw, and we had a lot of access, it was always attuned to, seemed to be always attuned to helping kids do better on the test. Hmm. You know, how do you write a sentence that will satisfy the test?
Right.
I'm not sure that's the kind of deep education that you would want for your children or grandchildren, but there was that focus on this test meant everything.
As you look at the educational landscape right now, are there, you know, Michelle Rhee is getting a lot of attention, but are there people in schools who are also trying to reform urban schools, but perhaps doing it in a different manner?
Oh, yes, there are. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, we have a lot of good schools in this country. Many people don't like the charter movement, but in New Orleans, where they set a very high bar to get a charter in the first place and then held schools accountable if they didn't do well, they seem to have figured out. I mean, that school system was just as bad as Washington's, and it's now considerably better. I mean, it's now maybe a C-minus school system, whereas Washington is probably still an F. Their scores went up on the national test called the National Assessment of Educational Progress, but only slightly, and their graduation rate is the lowest in the nation, embarrassingly low, this after all these years of reform. I would just say I get much too much credit because I'm the one you hear or see, and as you said, I'm the correspondent. The producers, Mike Joseloff and Nina Chowdhury, I mean, they just did an astounding job, along with the team at Frontline. But I'm glad you called me correspondent.
It's lovely because you, as the host of this show, know that there is always all this work that goes on that doesn't get seen.
It's a team sport, just like teaching, just like running a school. It's a team sport.
You know, yeah. You mentioned that New Orleans has lifted its school district. Washington, D.C. school district is still an F. Michelle Rhee's new organization, Students First, just let out its own report card, not, as I said at the beginning, not of student performance, but of how the states and the townships are, what their policies are. And Washington, D.C. gets actually quite a remarkable grade on that.
Yeah. So does New Orleans.
And so does New Orleans.
Louisiana, yeah.
What do you see in terms of the Students First, the way that they are evaluating education in this country?
I think it's in line with Chancellor Rhee's, the former Chancellor Rhee's own agenda. I mean, is there, are they restricting, making it harder to get tenure? Are they trying to get rid of the what's called LIFO, last in, first out, limits on collective bargaining, evaluating teachers based on student test scores? It's an agenda that she's very comfortable with that. And so that's what she's doing. She's looking at there doesn't seem to be a correlation between what those priorities and student achievement, at least not right now.
I have to say, when I listen to all of this and I think, if I were a young person and thinking about becoming a teacher, I might think twice. In terms of the way that you're evaluated, because, as you say, it's not whether my students actually learn to read or understand Hamlet. It's whether they can write a sentence that fulfills the requirement of this test.
Yeah, I think we are, this is a personal opinion, it's not in the Frontline film, but it seems to me we are maybe shooting ourselves in both feet. We need to make it more difficult to become a teacher, raise those standards. But at the same time, we have to make it easier to be a teacher. And I think we're doing the opposite. We're making it much, much harder to actually be a teacher today because we're pointing the finger. There are two schools, there are two philosophies warring here. And one, I would say, is exemplified by Michelle Rhee and perhaps Joel Klein, a former chancellor here in New York City, that what we really need are better people. If we just get better people, everything would be fine. There's a smaller, or there's another group, and probably the chief spokesperson for that would be Diane Ravitch, saying, no, we just need to make teaching a better job. We've got a lot of good people in there and need to make it possible for them to do a better job. And my own fantasy would be we would evaluate schools, not individual teachers. Because the road we're going down now, Julie, is that every teacher is going to be measured, evaluated based on how his or her kids do. Well, that means we have to test in every subject. You got to test in music. You got to test in art, phys ed. I mean, where does it end? We're already the most tested kids in the world.
And you have to test a teacher who may be teaching some children with learning disabilities and other children who, as these children in this documentary are, come from family environments where they may not be able to get the support they need to do their homework. I mean, it's this kind of going down to the lowest common denominator seems very complicated when you're not dealing with whether you're creating a coffee cup that matches all the other coffee cups.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the film tonight on Frontline is an interesting picture of what happens, you know, with a certain attitude about how you reform schools. Because, you know, Michelle Rhee is very smart and determined, forceful, and she was given a blank check.
And she seems to really care about what she's doing.
Absolutely. And there's nothing, whoever was erasing, you viewers can figure that out for themselves. But there's nothing that suggests that Michelle Rhee condoned any kind of illegal behavior on anybody's part. It's just it's a portrait, really, of what happens when you give someone unlimited power. What happens in that case? But on that question of whether young people would want to teach, there's this reservoir of idealism among young Americans. They want to do something for their country. But education right now, we need the wisdom of Ronald Reagan. He was talking about the Soviet Union, said trust but verify. We used to trust, and now it's all about verifying. Mm-hmm. We need to get back to a middle ground where we make it harder to become a teacher, but make it easier to be teachers and trust them, give them responsibility and hold them accountable.
Michelle Rhee herself became a teacher through Teach for America, and her biography is called The Bee Eater. Can you tell us about that?
That's an interesting book. Richard Whitmire is in the film tonight at 10, and he spent a lot of time with Michelle Rhee. The Bee Eater is a story about something that happened when she was teaching. A bee flies in the room, the kids are panicking, Michelle Rhee swats it, kills it, picks it up, and for some reason, as she says in the film, she ate it. And the kids go, whoa.
And she got their attention.
She got their attention, yeah. I mean, there is that side. She, as I say, for a journalist, she's a dream. And because, particularly at the beginning of our coverage, she was remarkably candid and just great fun to talk to. Now she's a political figure. With a multi-million-dollar enterprise that is working for a political agenda, so he's a little tougher to talk to now. But I think people in the film, I think we'll see. You know, she's a lightning rod. People love her or hate her. I think those who love her will see different side of her. Those who hate her will see a different side of her. I mean, I'm comfortable with the film that it's an honest. You can't say fair and balanced anymore because Fox has ruined that phrase.
Has owned it, right.
Yeah, but it is, in fact, balanced and fair.
Which, watching it as a journalist, I thought this is a complicated issue to be balanced and fair because the temperature is so high on both sides. Yeah. How did you approach it in order to be able to try to look at it not as just an homage to Michelle Rhee or a kind of here's what the criticism is?
Well, I think that's why it helps to work with Frontline and to work with professionals like Mike Joseloff and Nina Chaudhry. I mean, there's a storytelling. How do we do this? So we bring out the nuances, but we don't go overboard here or there. you know, and how I feel is irrelevant. I mean, what matters is that as many different points of view get expressed in there in a coherent, because, you know, you've got, everybody has a clicker. You also want to keep people staying with you and make it the television equivalent of a page turner. And I think it works. I mean, I think it does, as you said earlier, it becomes kind of a detective story. How much behavior, wrong behavior, who did that erasing? Does Michelle Rhee want to know who did the erasing? It becomes, as I say, kind of a cliffhanger.
And that idea that you mentioned earlier, which I hadn't heard of before, that rule in social science of the more pressure that's put on a particular measurable, the more it becomes corrupt.
The greater the probability.
It's the greater the probability.
Campbell's Law.
Campbell's Law.
The greater probability that will be corrupted, yeah. And, of course, as we said earlier, that was a diagnostic test. It wasn't designed to evaluate whether principals should keep their jobs or get bonuses, whether teachers should keep their jobs. And so I guess if test security is not tight, are you creating what the Catholic Church would call an occasion of sin? You know,
To end, we just have a couple of minutes, but I just wanted to ask you, what do you see as most promising in the field of education, particularly K-12? Where do you see real promise?
Well, if we only have a few seconds, I would just say that the technology would allow, we're still going to need schools. We need a place for kids to go because we have jobs. But no school should respect those walls. They should take that technology and use it so that every elementary school should have an air quality monitor. They should measure the air quality and share the data with every other elementary school in the state and create real knowledge. That then makes school exciting. We can't do regurgitation. We have to help kids ask questions, not just expect them to kick back answers.
Because that's what they're going to need to do in the rest of their lives.
Absolutely right.
Well, John Merrow, thank you so much. I've been speaking with John Merrow. He is the correspondent for the Frontline documentary, The Education of Michelle Rhee, about the former chancellor of Washington, D.C. public schools. It airs tonight at 10 p.m. on PBS. John, thank you so much for joining us today.
My treat. Thank you, Julie.